Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And hello and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. With me on the phone is Aaron Marshall, and he is with the Issue 1 Marcy's Law campaign that will be on your fall ballot. That's Issue 1, and the Ohio Christian Alliance is urging a yes vote on Issue 1, which is legislation or a constitutional amendment that actually gives rights to victims of crime. So often we hear about the rights of the criminals. This is an issue that would give rights to the victims of crime. Good afternoon. We're glad that you've joined us for News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you missed any of today's program, you can always catch the full broadcast on our podcast, and that is on our website at ohioca.org. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris.
Well, things are heating up as we get closer to the November election. And, of course, people are looking at the ballot issues, and the first up on the ballot is, of course, what's called Marcy's Law, and that is legislation to, or constitutional amendment, rather, to protect victims' rights. Explain to us what Marcy's Law is.
Sure, Chris. Thanks for having me on. You know, it's really important that people get out there and vote. Marcy's Law would clarify once and for all that crime victims have equal rights to those of defendants. You know, we think crime victims should have deserve to have the right to notification of every step in the process, the right to participate by making statements in court, input into plea bargains, deserve to have prompt conclusion of their cases, information about services. And we also think that crime victims should have the right to a mechanism to enforce their rights. In other words, crime victims should be able to go into court and say to a judge, hey, I'm not being notified about developments in this case. Hey, I want to be heard before this person is sentenced. And then they can go into a court and basically file a motion if they feel like the rights are being abridged. And then the judge would have to, you know, rule on that motion. That's a part, that would be a new piece in Ohio law and something that's pretty important change that Marston's Law
Well, that's right. And looking at the 7 points of Marcy's Law, which is victims' rights, is the right to be treated with courtesy, fairness, and respect for the dignity and privacy throughout the criminal justice proceedings. Number two, the right to receive information about their rights and services available to crime victims. The right to receive timely notification of proceedings and other major developments in their case. The right to receive timely notifications of changes to the offender's custodial status, the right to be present at court proceedings and provide input to a prosecutor before the plea deal is finalized. Number six, the right to be heard at plea or sentencing proceedings or any process that may result in the offender's release. And number seven, the right to restitution. These are the rights that are enumerated under the victim's rights Amendment Issue 1, Marcy's Law, which will be on your fall ballot. We do urge you to vote yes on Issue 1. In fact, you know, Aaron, I talked to a number of people as we were considering Marcy's Law for Ohio, the constitutional amendment. Of course, signatures were circulated, petitions were circulated to get it on the ballot. So many people did sign the petition and began to consider the amendment, exactly what it was. And I began to reach out to legal experts. Actually, one judge that I reached out to, he was a former state senator, and I asked him, I said, well, what's your thoughts about the proposed amendment, Issue 1? He said, well, I'm for it. He said, for instance, I want to be notified as a judge when certain offenders are getting released from jail. He said there are two individuals that that come to mind for him personally that were arsonists, and it was a very heinous crime, and he wants to know when they're released. So here you have somebody who's actually tied very close to the justice system. He's a judge, and I won't identify him by county, but again, this was someone who said, and he understands the Constitution. I've worked with him on constitutional issues throughout the years at the Ohio State House when he was serving there, now as a as a judge, and he said this is good legislation, this is needed. Some also have said this isn't really anything beyond the bounds of what courts are to providing victims already, but in many cases are not. So, you know, the courts aren't doing their due diligence. It's kind of a shooting match. It's just hit and miss
right.
around the state. You may be notified, you may not. They say, well, we sent out the notice, but they really didn't send out a proper notice to the victims for whether the perpetrator was going to get an early release, for instance. So you've got instances where people actually go to the grocery store, and next thing you know, they're startled by the person who actually went to jail for a crime, and there they are standing face-to-face with them, and it's very unsettling because they were not notified by the court of an early release. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing basically is that the rights that you have as a crime victim really vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, that there are some places that do the notification. They do have, make sure that crime victims get a chance to speak before someone's sentenced and do a great job. There's prosecutor, you know, we have a prosecutor in Franklin County, Ron O'Brien, who does a great job with that stuff. But the reality is that there's other counties that aren't doing a very good job with that. If you think about, let's say you're in a small county in like Hocking County, Ohio. It's one of Ohio's smallest counties in southern Ohio. Well, the prosecutor in Hocking County, every case that he takes is going to be in front of one judge. He's got one judge that he has to deal with all the time. Now, is he going to go to the wall maybe for a crime victim and really, possibly anger this judge that he has to deal with in all these other cases? I mean, I think you can understand the human nature that comes into play sometimes, where prosecutors in smaller counties aren't necessarily pushing the envelope on crime victim rights. So, I mean, you know, I kind of look at it like a civil rights issue here, you know? This is a declaration of rights for crime victims that we think should be placed in the Ohio Constitution. You know, back during the civil rights era, we had to have federal troops come into certain places in the country to make sure that desegregation could happen safely or that African-Americans had their voting rights respected. You know, it's maybe not as dramatic as that, but we think that we need to have this law to hold up in every county courthouse around Ohio. Say, look, crime victims have these rights. They're in the Constitution now, and you need to respect them, or, you know, they can file a motion now, and they have a way to enforce their rights. So, you know, I kind of see this as a civil rights issue.
Well, that's a great point you bring up. You're talking about one of the rural counties, which may be on a shoestring budget, and, you know, is not doing the due diligence to notify of the various proceedings of the court. It doesn't cost a lot of money for the county to do this. It just basically takes the due diligence to do it. This law would assure that it is actually a constitutional law in the state of Ohio, and that all the county courts in all the 88 counties have to comply if issue one passes. Again, we're talking about Marcy's law. Tell us a little bit about Marcy herself, and I know her brother is heavily involved in this to get this law passed because of his own personal experience with his sister.
Yeah, well, Marcy was a young lady. Actually, the family was from the Cincinnati area originally, but they had moved out to California. And Marcy, this is in the early 80s, was in a relationship that went bad, and it was not a good situation. She was away from the ex-boyfriend. She had broken things off with him. Just tragically, he turned violent with her and actually murdered her. It was maybe a week or two after the murder had taken place. The family was coming back from visiting Marcy's grave. They're at the grocery store, and they run into the killer, who was out on bail at that time. He hadn't been convicted yet, but he was convicted later. They run into the killer at the grocery store, and there's, you know, words were exchanged, and you can just imagine how traumatic that was. And Marcy's brother, Dr. Henry Nicholas, was there. He was there with his mom, Marcy's mom, there at the grocery store. And, you know, it was just a traumatic experience for him, and he did not want anyone else's family to go through something similar. He started Marcy's Law in her name out in California, and the ball's been rolling here for the last decade or so. Marcy's Law is now in the books in California, Illinois, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio would be state number six. So, and he's the one that's provided the money to get the signatures to get on the ballot here. You know, of course, we know that that costs a lot of money in Ohio. It's a time-consuming, exhaustive process. And he's the one that paid for that. And so we're very happy to have his support and have him and his family back in the Buckeye State supporting victims' rights.
Well, it's interesting that Marcy's Law has an Ohio tie. It starts in California, but it's in a family that's originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. So that's very interesting, and one in which I think this issue is really resonating with a lot of people because they've been through this process, some level of frustration or another with the local court, depending upon they were the victim of a crime, whether that was a robbery, whether it was an assault, whether it was a stalking situation. And there's a lot of people in those kinds of situations that I'm sure that this has caught their attention. Again, we're talking about ballot issue one on your fall ballot, and that will be on November 7th. We encourage you to get out and vote on November 7th and to vote yes on issue one. The Ohio Christian Alliance is advocating a yes vote on issue one, which is Marcy's Law, rights to victims of crime. You know, even here in the Akron area, we've had this kind of discussion in the past where there's been restitution for victims' rights over the years. In fact, one of the Denton Center has been one in which they have worked with people who have been victims of crime over the years and helping them with restitution issues. Explain us to this point number seven, the right of restitution.
Well, basically, you would have a right to, you know, financial redress when the crime that was committed has had a financial impact on you. So that's, you know, anything from property damage, on up. It's something that there is a limited right to restitution that's currently in statute. This would expand it to cover misdemeanor crimes as well. And we just feel like, hey, you know, if you're convicted and you financially injured another person, they should have a right to seek that from you. So it just kind of expands the restitution that's already available.
We're talking with Aaron Marshall, who is a spokesman for Marcy's Law, Issue 1, which is Victims' Rights Ballot Initiative on your fall ballot. The website where you can learn more is marcyslaw.us. There's also an Ohio link there as well. Is that correct, Aaron?
That's right. And we also have Vote Yes on stateissue1, .com. We'll get you to us as well. And, you know, I'm on here with the Ohio Christian Alliance, and I guess I just feel like I'd be selling it short to not mention, you know, that there's really a spiritual kind of question here, too, in some ways. I mean, I'm sure the folks in your audience are way more well-versed in some of the things that the Old Testament says, but, you know, learn to live right, see that justice is done, and help those in need comes from the book of Isaiah, Psalm 103, for all who are mistreated, the Lord brings justice. So, I mean, I think that there's kind of a calling here that goes beyond the civic calling to a moral plane with this issue and helping people that are in need and have been injured to help find up their wound.
Well, that's right. I would agree with that. And that, you know, I think that's how most people view this. And if they've known people that have gone through terrible situations as victims of crime, and how at times it's as if the courts are indifferent to them as the victims of the crime. But again, as you said, currently it varies from county to county and from court system to court system as to how diligent and proficient they are in following some of the existing laws that are already in the state. But this actually makes it more unified, I think, and mm-hmm. It also enumerates those rights, again, as we've gone over them, seven of them. And by the way, Later today, we'll have up on the Ohio Christian Alliance website our ballot issues educational insert for your church, which you can download. We'll also have printed copies available as well for your church, and you can log on and make requests for that on our website, also by phoning 330-887-1922, and is fully permissible for your church to distribute this educational piece and advocate for an issue. And so over the years, we've done that, whether it was the marriage issue or other issues on the state ballot. And of course, this year, it's Marcy's Law, Victims' Rights of Crime, constitutional amendment. So we encourage you to get involved, get educated, and also help us to distribute the Ohio Christian Alliance ballot issues bulletin insert to your church and congregation. But again, you know, going to the website, getting educated on this issue, people will start seeing or hearing radio ads, of course, and seeing TV ads, as I'm assuming, as well for Marcy's Law. Is that right?
Absolutely. We have a couple of TV ads that are running and some radio spots, and we're just trying to get our message out there about how important it is to vote and vote yes and vote for equal rights for crime victims. But yeah, we have a full media campaign. You know, I would also mention, you know, we have a lot of support from all walks of life. It's not just the Ohio Christian Alliance that's supporting us. We have 13 county prosecutors, more than 20 county sheriffs, the Ohio FOP, the Buckeye Sheriff's Association, Mike DeWine, Attorney General Mike DeWine, a number of lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans. The Democratic mayor of Dayton is a supporter of ours, for example. So we really are seeing people across the political spectrum and from all corners of Ohio support our campaign. It's just so important to get people out there and vote.
Well, that's right. It has broad bipartisan support, I'm sure, because there are so many people that have been frustrated with the court system at times not receiving proper notification, again, of parole hearings when a perpetrator might be up for parole. People want to know that, you know, because they want to weigh in and they want to be notified of an early release. And I think it's all about just knowing. It's when you don't know and you get surprised, like Marcy's family did that day. And they weren't aware that the man was released on bail who was eventually convicted of her murder. And there's these other, you know, there's these instances that happen that are shocking to people if there's an early release of someone. So a woman who's been stalked by a man might be surprised to actually see him in the grocery store and not realize, you know, that he was being had a hearing for early release and was granted that by the court. So, and this is totally out of the hands of the victim, unless they're receiving knowledge is power. In this sense, being notified by the court is the new due process that will be uniform across the state of Ohio with ballot issue one, Marcy's Law. Aaron, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't know a lot about crime victim laws in Ohio before I took on this this job, but I have learned over the past year, and I have talked to crime victims from around the state of Ohio, and I have heard some horror stories. You know, a woman in Mahoning County who was a victim of a horrible rape case that took nearly 6 years to come to trial because the defense just kept getting continuance after continuance after continuance. A case in the Akron area, a woman named Rhonda Blankenship, whose family was murdered. You know, the defense attorneys in that case went on a terrible fishing expedition for wanted all kinds of personal information from her, her journals, her social media passwords, her medical records, on and on, because they felt like, you know, it had some bearing on the defense in the case, which it really didn't. But my point here is just that invasions of privacy, cases that drag on forever, cases where folks are not notified and have that moment in the grocery store or while getting gas where they run into their attackers, you know, it's a patchwork system right now. We're trying to bring uniformity to it. We're trying to make sure that if you're a crime victim in Akron, your rights are the same as if you're a crime victim in Ashtabula. You know, we don't feel that where you are in the state of Ohio should determine types of rights that you have when it comes to crime victims' rights. But the reality is that's where we are today. So, yeah, we're just really trying to get our message out and you know, let people understand that what this would really do is allow folks to file a motion in court or appeal a judge's decision if they feel like their rights are not being respected. That's a huge, huge leap forward that's made in this law. And it really gives some teeth to this. You know, if we're going to have these rights, we have to have a way to enforce them. Otherwise, they don't mean anything. So that's kind of our message here with Marcy's Law.
Well, that's right. And the amendment reads, the proposed amendment would expand the rights of victims under the current section and require that rights of victims be protected as vigorously as the rights of the accused. More specifically, for the purpose of ensuing due process, respect, fairness, and justice for crime, victims for their families, and the criminal and juvenile justice systems, the amendment would provide victims with, and then, of course, we talked about the seven rights. Number one is the right to be treated with courtesy, fairness, respect for the dignity, and privacy throughout the criminal justice proceedings. And so it has in mind that there has been a victim of this crime, that they're not nameless, faceless, and forgotten as the court proceedings go forward. So, Aaron, I think this is one in which Ohioans, I was just talking with someone today about we have the constitutional ballot process here in Ohio, and Ohioans really take that seriously, where they, you know, they vet the issues, and that's what we've been doing today, talking about issue one. Give us some final thoughts, and again, the website, so people can log on to learn more and to share that information.
Sure, the website is voteyesonissueone.com, and when we talk about amending the Constitution, that's a pretty serious step to take. I know that there's probably some people out there who just aren't really in favor of changing the Constitution that often. You know, we have some things in there that, frankly, probably shouldn't be in there. You know, there's casino locations, which are in the Ohio Constitution now. There's certainly a vigorous debate over state issue two and whether drug pricing laws should be in the state Constitution or not. So there's, you can debate, I guess, whether you include some things or not in the Ohio Constitution. We feel like there's no debate about this because this is about individual rights. This is what more appropriate place is there to put a Declaration of Rights than in the Ohio Constitution? That's what we're trying to do with this law. We're trying to say once and for all in the Ohio Constitution, crime victims have equal rights to those of defendants, and they have the right to enforce their rights in a court of law and go before a judge and file a motion to say, hey, my rights are not being protected. I'm not being respected right now. So that's what we're trying to do with Marcy's Law. And we really appreciate your support, Chris, and just hope everyone gets out there and votes for us.
Absolutely. Aaron Marshall with the Issue 1 Marcy's Law campaign. And, of course, we're urging a yes vote on Issue 1. To learn more, go to our website at ohioca.org. Also, if you'd like bulletin inserts for your church, educational bulletin inserts for the upcoming election, we have those at the Ohio Christian Alliance, and all you have to do is ask. They're free of charge, and we'll send them out to your church. Well, thanks for listening today, and again, tell a friend, and also, if you've missed any of today's program, you can listen to it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
You tried to move on. You tried to put your life back together. Until one day, you see him. At the store, on the street, on your doorstep. The criminal who tore your life apart is walking free. But you might never know. Until you come face to face with him. Don't let this happen to more victims. Vote yes on Issue 1, Marcy's Law.
Issue 1, Marcy's Law, will guarantee constitutional rights for crime victims in Ohio. Marcy's Law will give crime victims equal standing in the criminal justice system, ensuring they are told how the process works, notifying them of court hearings, plea agreements, or the escape or release of the offender. We can't undo a crime once it's happened, but we can ensure crime victims are treated with dignity and respect by the criminal justice system. Vote yes on Issue 1, Marcy's Law. Paid for by Marcy's Law of Ohio.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. A little later in the program, we're going to give you an update of what took place at the State House this week at the State School Board meeting, and that was specifically about the American Government and History Standards. We actually have a victory of sorts. They withdrew their proposal to eliminate the end-of-course exam, of which was part of the Founding of American Documents curriculum. I want to thank all the listeners who called and emailed their state representative at the State School Board, and let's keep the pressure on them. They're still, what they've done is they've withdrawn the proposal. They may revisit it in October or November, but for now, we still have the wonderful Founding of American Documents curriculum, which teaches our young people about the Constitution in the Ohio classroom from the 4th to the 8th to the 12th grade, with an end-of-course exam. So that is still in place. Thank you for your effort. And the second part of this program, we'll talk to you about that and give you an update. But we're going to talk right now about something that hasn't happened in this country in almost 30 years, and that is tax reform. That's right. You and I have been filling out those long forms or basically hiring accountants to help us figure out what in the world's going on with our when it comes around to tax season, and we have to rely upon experts to help us wade through the very heavy paperwork of the tax code. Well, there is a push in Washington to reform taxes, and that's a good thing. In fact, President Trump has actually announced his plan to reform the tax code, and he is asking for willing partners in the U.S. House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate. And the Congress has actually been working on some measures of tax reform over the last couple of years, but now is the time to get it done. And we're going to have some action items for you on this program. But with me on the phone to talk about it extensively is the chairman of the 60 Plus Association, our good friend Jim Martin. Jim, welcome to the program.
Glad to be with you, Chris.
Well, thank you, sir. You've been working on this, actually ending the federal death tax for some time, and that's going to be part of the equation. Also joining us will be Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute. He's calling from the State House in Columbus, Ohio. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, as always.
Well, gentlemen, obviously we're at a very important time in the legislature in Washington, and that is to get tax reform done. Greg, why, in your opinion, is that an important thing at this time?
Well, it's always important to be able to be competitive. We need jobs. We need jobs in Ohio. We need jobs in America. And the reality is the federal tax code, especially when you combine the federal tax code with state and local taxes, is atrocious. But really, we have so many ways of taxing things that we have made ourselves uncompetitive with many other countries. In particular, and you know, a lot of people hear the word corporate tax, for example, and their eyes roll over, glaze over. People don't want to think about that, or they think that it only is helping big wigs. But here's the fundamental problem. We have a very high rate on corporate taxes that is actually incentivizing American companies to go out and make profits in other countries, which they don't bring back to reinvest here in the United States. And that means lost jobs and lost job opportunities. And they also, sometimes you'll find you've got companies that will actually go and incorporate. They'll take a headquarters and they will actually leave the United States and incorporate overseas. And a lot of times that has to do with the way in which we have taxes. So this is a very big problem. Everybody acknowledges that the United States, when you look at the tax rate, is one of the highest of most what's considered the kind of the Western world and the modern industrial economies. We have one of the highest tax rates, effective tax rates there is. That's a problem. We've got to get it done. Everybody knows this. This is actually, even, you know, you've got Republicans who know this and have been talking about it for years. We've got Democrats who know this too. It's not a secret. It's everybody knows it in Washington. The problem is getting the political will to do it. But the policy implications are real, and it all comes back down to how do you make America get its mojo right back on track? How do we get the jobs that we need today that get people higher incomes today?
Well, that's right. And Jim, you put out a press release last week when the president coming back and Congress as well from their summer recess, you put out a press release and said, "I'm proud and pleased that the 60 Plus Association is among the two dozen organizations calling on Congress to grab this once-in-a-generation opportunity to reform our tax code. The signatories to our open letter to Congress represent tens of millions of conservatives who want the same thing, a simpler, fairer tax code that makes America competitive, eliminates global tax penalties that stifle growth, and strengthens the middle class by reducing the tax burden on working families and abolishing the death tax." Well, I concur, Jim. This is time to get this done. You know, actually, I've talked to a lot of people who have had some issues. You know, you always have to go to your accountant. A good accountant, of course, is worth their weight in gold. But at the same time, you know, it's so cumbersome at times to go to an accountant. If they lose your paperwork, I mean, I've actually had that experience. I just talked to a pastor friend that his accountant passed away. Somebody took on his account, and then they lost the paperwork, and he's got to go all through between the IRS and his filings, and it's a big mess, and it shouldn't be that complicated, should it?
Absolutely not. And by the way, I liked what Greg had to say too, Chris, about, you know, we do have the highest tax rates in the country. We are uncompetitive, as Greg put it. We need to be able to compete with other entities. And as he pointed out, so many corporations take their headquarters overseas. I think Ireland is one country because of their lower corporate tax rates.
Right.
Yes, we have a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It's been since Ronald Reagan, more than 30 years ago, since we actually tackled the tax code, which is now thousands of pages. What has happened, of course, is there's been too many carve-outs by special interests in this town. I think right now, with Republicans controlling the White House, the House, and the Senate, we have this opportunity. But here's where here's the fly in the ointment. People like Chuck Schumer, just the other day, going to the estate tax or the death tax, that's the signature issue at the 60 Plus Association. First, let me give a brief history of that tax. You know, Chris, you guys got rid of it in Ohio, the Ohio state tax.
We did.
They have an inheritance tax in the individual states. But on the federal level, the federal estate tax was always meant to be a temporary tax for defense purposes. Four times in our nation's history, we imposed this tax on the wealthy. Back in the late 1700s, to help pay for the buildup of our Navy, 1862, help pay for the Civil War, but it was always repealed a few years later. 1898, to help pay for the Spanish-American War, repealed a few years later. The fourth time, 1916, to help pay for World War I, well, the Congress apparently forgot to repeal it. That war's been over now, as Congressman Kevin Brady, the chief sponsor of repeal, chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, put it, the sole survivor from World War I is the estate tax. And by the way, One other point I would make, following up on what Greg said and what you just said, Chris, the argument on the so-called estate tax, I get credit for naming it death tax. Actually, it was called death tax many, many years ago, even before Ronald Reagan. But the liberals, the other side, want to say estate tax, meaning it, meaning very wealthy. Well, the wealthy, the truly wealthy, they set up foundations and trusts to avoid it. Who can blame them for that? But it's farmers and ranchers throughout North Dakota and, Ohio and small businesses. One other point I'd make. After the president was in North Dakota last week talking about the Ellingson family, their farmers and ranchers, were going to get rid of the death tax. Right away, Chuck Schumer said, no, no, the president's just trying to give a tax break to his wealthy friends. Well, that's nonsense, as I just pointed out. Wealthy friends set up trusts and foundations. So, and then the Washington Post, just this morning, Chris, the Washington Post referred to this tax as the revenue-raising estate tax. It is not a revenue raiser. Studies show that it's actually a net revenue loss. So that's the biggest canard going here, that it raises revenue. It does not. It's a hindrance to job growth.
Well, that's right. And this is what the president's team is saying in the push for reforming the tax code. You're listening to News in Focus. My guests today are Jim Martin, chairman of the 60-plus Association, Greg Lawson of the Buckeye Institute, a conservative think tank in Columbus, Ohio, and he's calling us from the Ohio State House. Tax reform will help middle-class families in three ways, according to the administration. First, tax reform will lead to more jobs. That's what you were saying, Greg, and that's what I'm hearing from a lot of entities, is that they needed tax reform of the corporate tax to really release revenue and investment of corporations to create new jobs in this country. By cutting the business tax rate and leveling the playing field for American companies, tax reform will make it more attractive for American business to invest in the U.S. economy and create jobs. Second, it will simplify the tax code. You know, Jim, just as we were talking about, and you were talking about the death tax, how long that's been around with us. In fact, I'm looking here at this graph, and it says back in 1913, the tax code was 400 pages. In 2014, 74,608 pages. Wow. You have to back up the truck just to bring it to Capitol Hill.
That's the special interest carve-outs that we've talked about year in and year out. The special interests, the lobbyists go in there and they get favors for their friends. But this president and Kevin Brady and, of course, John Thune in the Senate have called for repealing. Let's reform the code overall, but going to the estate tax, and again, that's our signature issue. Let me give you one other quote. And Reuters said today, the difference between Republicans and Democrats on this particular tax, they say that Republicans have long criticized the estate tax or death tax. They say you're taxing hard-earned income a second, even a third time, and how it impacts family-owned businesses and farms throughout the country, including Ohio.
Right.
Of course, the Democrats say repealing it would be a, quote, windfall for only the wealthiest of taxpayers. Again, that is in this town where con jobs are a daily occurrence, that's the biggest con job of all by Chuck Schumer, saying, oh, he's trying to give his wealthy friends a tax break. He ought to talk to the Julie Ellingson family out in North Dakota, or one of his own colleagues, Democratic Congressman of the Congressional Black Caucus, Congressman Sanford Bishop, Plains, Georgia. Sanford Bishop flat out calls for repeal. You know why? Because it impacts his farmers throughout southwest Georgia. We're not talking about rich guys on Wall Street. We're talking about his farmers who told him, Mr. Bishop, this tax impacts me. Land rich. I'm cash poor. They don't have the financial wherewithal to set up a trust or a foundation.
Well, the grassroots are in favor of tax reform. Again, we're talking about tax reform is right now underway in Washington. Your calls are going to be needed to your Congress member to urge them to support the president's tax plan of reforming the tax code that hasn't been done in 30 years. Greg, tax reform will provide tax relief for middle-income families. Explain that.
Sure. One of the big things that also is going to happen, of course, I mentioned the corporate tax and how that impacts businesses and the ability to have resources coming back to the U.S. to invest. But this is about simplifying the income tax, too. And here's an interesting issue. A lot of people file as small businesses and as pass-through entities. And, of course, we've been having a debate in Ohio about that with state taxes. But this also impacts federal taxes, too. So there's a lot of people, and I'm so glad that Jim mentioned some of the things that Senator Schumer was saying about wealthy, you know, this being the windfall for the wealthy. Many, many people who get hit with high taxes, you've got a problem with the alternative minimum tax as well, which does this. It hits people who are not wealthy by what people would consider wealthy. These are regular middle-class folks who happen to sometimes be their own small business owners. And then they end up getting hit much higher rates. And so we have to clean that up as well so that we're not basically casting this big old fishing net out there and capturing all these people who don't deserve to be caught in there at all. This is definitely a middle-class thing. It's something that's going to help folks to have more money in their pocket, and especially business owners. And when we think of business owners, again, I think a lot of times people think about, you know, corporate titans and things like that. But what about the local restaurateurs, the barbershop, you know?
Yes.
The guy who has the local ice cream place. These are the bookshop, if they still, you know, I mean, there's still a few of those village bookshops around here and there. These are the kind of people who are small business owners. They deserve to have more money in their pocket because, you know what, maybe they only hire one or two people. Maybe so. But you start aggregating that number up across your individual state and then, of course, across the whole country, and you're talking real jobs, real people. And so, again, this is about economic development, about growth, not jobs, but there's also the fairness issue. It's simply not fair for people to get roped into this.
And anyone who sat down with their accountant and, you know, you go through the graduated scale and you get up there just a little higher and then you get really hit and penalized. I mean, that's really an inhibitor for people wanting to better their lives, to make more income, and they see more and more of it going to Washington and to Columbus. And we're talking about reforming the tax code. You know, and this has been so frustrating to people. You know, over the years, we've fought the marriage tax penalty. There's been the earned income tax credit. There's been the child tax credit. I'm sure that's all going, you know, which, of course, encourages families and those with children because there is an expense to raising children. But at the same time, too, there's this other group of folks who are actually maybe having a small business. They're hiring people, but they're really getting penalized. And after a while, when I've talked to people to say, you know what, I'm nothing more than a professional taxpayer. That, I mean, that's what I am. I mean, not as a business owner. When, you know, they say all the time that I spend is filing taxes, paying taxes, meeting the quarterlies, and the obligation of all these different taxes. And that's an inhibitor for small business growth. And, of course, that was the big economic engine that employs most people in this country traditionally. And President Trump wants to get back to that. He doesn't want to penalize it. He wants to incentivize it. And actually, another point about the tax code, you know, the president has been talking on the stump speech about trillions of dollars being parked overseas because offshore, because they're not wanting to bring, these are corporations and entities not wanting to bring that money back to the United States for fear that the tax raiders will come and get it. So it's parked overseas waiting to come home to be an economic builder and investment in this country. Greg, your thoughts. Then, Jim, follow up, please.
Oh, yeah, no, this is absolutely right. I mean, you've hit it right on the head. There's tons of money that's overseas that is not coming back here to be circulated into our economy here for our jobs here at home. And that is actually a tragedy. And the funny thing about it is, you know, everybody again gets this idea that, oh, if you help out the big businesses, it's just helping out really wealthy people who are, you know, chomping on cigars or something like that. It's a complete and other perverse caricature of what really happens and what is really necessary from an economic perspective to create the jobs. Tax reform, you know, all these tax loopholes, you were talking about this earlier as well. They get carved out over time and you have to add pages and you have to add complexity. And then the other problem with these tax loopholes is every time you have a loophole, that means that everybody else who doesn't get that special dispensation has to pay relatively more in order to make up for that lost revenue. That's not fair either. So all part of tax reform is being pro-growth and being fair to everybody, which is something that we have turned our tax code into a, kind of a Swiss cheese model, yet by doing that at the same time, we've made it just incredibly burdensome on all kinds of folks. And to point on, to hit on another point that you raised as well, Chris, small businesses, you are absolutely right. They are the net job creators. There's a ton of evidence that over the years, coming out of every recession, the net job growth usually always comes from newer and growing businesses. The established guys typically shed jobs. They may bring some back, but they very rarely bring all the jobs that they shed during the recession. It's the new businesses that are going to be doing that. And that's why you have to have a tax code that it makes sense for them and gives them the incentive to keep growing.
Well, that's right. Jim, your thoughts on that?
Well, and to follow up on what both of you said, if Kevin Brady, John Thune, and the White House have their way, you'll be able to file your tax return on a one-pager or even something as small as a postcard. That might be a little bit too ambitious. But the fact is, the unfairness, I think Greg mentioned a while ago, the unfairness of the code. On the death tax itself, 75% of the public, across philosophical lines, call for repealing the estate tax because they cite the unfairness of a tax that has already been taxed while you're alive at least once or twice. Why should your estate be taxed again after you pass away? But one of the points I like to make is, quoting again, small businesses and the growth factor from small businesses. They are the engine that fire up our economy. But I like to quote a liberal law professor, Edward McCaffrey, who testified before Ways and Means a number of years ago. And Professor McCaffrey, University of Southern California, he described himself as a, quote, unrequited liberal. But he said, I used to believe in redistribution of wealth through the estate tax. But he said, there are studies that now show that this should be a tax we liberals should hate. Why? Because of its negative effect on job growth, therefore tax revenue. And that's something that Greg pointed out a minute ago. Small businesses, they hire people. This liberal law professor went on to say, and I'm paraphrasing his testimony, he said, look, he said, if you leave that wealth with the rightful owners, the men and women who've worked hard all their lives, and they want to leave it to their heirs and their families and their children and grandchildren.
That's right.
He said, if you leave it with them, guess what they'll do? They'll do one of two things. They'll either invest in startup businesses or an expansion of existing businesses. Then the liberal law professor went on to say, and guess what they do? They hire workers. And guess what workers do? They pay taxes.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Said, we should be getting rid of this tax and let the economy boom.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had. It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Greg, I know you got to leave and run. Your closing thought there, and we're talking with Greg Loss of the Buckeye Institute, and that's buckeyeinstitute.org. Greg, your final thought.
Look, this is the right thing to do. It's the fair thing to do, and it's the pro-growth thing to do. If you want jobs and fairness, you got to have tax reform. It's that simple. We shouldn't make it more complicated than that. And I know that there's good efforts going on to do it, and it needs to happen now.
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg, for joining us. Jim, you know, as we're pushing this in Washington, you're there on the ground on Capitol Hill. You're up there mingling with the members. What's your sense right now of the timetable of getting this done? Is there an urgency among the members?
Yeah, I think there's an urgency. The problem, of course, is getting into the there's not that many legislative days, of course, left, and you're still talking about Obamacare. There is a push to do that within the next week or so. But on the tax issue itself, I think by mid or late October, we're going to see success and if nothing else, some tax cuts. But I can't emphasize enough to you and your audience, Chris, on the estate or death tax.
Yes.
The problem here is because, how do I put this diplomatically? The Republican leaders need to get a spine, because right now, and I'm not talking about anyone specifically, but the fact is they've all been pushing death tax repeal for years. You have a president now who says, I will sign it into law.
Yes.
Like Obama, who said, I will not sign that into law. But the fact is, as soon as Schumer said, oh, that's just going to be a tax cut for the wealthy, now the word around Capitol Hill, unfortunately, is that they may pull death tax repeal from the bill. And we're saying, no, stand by your guns. Any issue where you're 75% in your favor, as Newt Gingrich just said once, that's an issue you need to stand by beside it and smile, because it's
all right.
Issue.
Jim, thank you so much. My guest, Jim Martin of the 60 Plus Association. If you missed any of this program, you can go to our website and hear it in its entirety. Thanks for listening today.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.